The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
Yeah, now, 5 on 5 on RadRTE.ie. I'm joined in the studio by two people who want to share their experience of living with acquired brain injury. We have Colin McCoy. How are you doing, Col?
Are you right?
Good. And Rebecca Cunningham. How are you doing, Rebecca?
Hi, you're
right. Right. So who wants to just acquired brain injury? This is, you're not born with it. Something
no.
happens to you.
Exactly.
You acquire it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like going to buy a piece of fruit, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I suppose I acquired mine via a hit and run. Almost 7 years ago, I was on holidays and I was hit by a car.
And you were in Rio?
I was in Rio in Brazil, yeah.
So you were, what age were you?
I was 28 at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And things were going well for you, weren't they?
They were going really well. I was telling your producer earlier, like, I had finished a master's, a part-time master's, and I was working full-time. And I just thought I'd take a break and I'd go travelling. And I did so. And I'd handed my master's and everything. And I went travelling and I had planned 2 months abroad. And, you know, but I got 2 weeks into it and was hit by a car. And, yeah, I may have woke up about 6 to 8 weeks later.
So just go back to that. So you'd been to a number of South American countries.
Yeah.
Where had you been to?
Well, I arrived over and I met a mate of mine in Lima in Peru, and then we travelled to Bolivia and Chile and Paraguay, and we made our way into Sao Paulo in Brazil, and we were due to meet another friend of ours, Kieran, in Rio the following morning, and we got on a bus to Rio from Sao Paulo, and that's the last memory I have. I was hit by a car that night. And
so it was a trip of a lifetime.
It was, and yeah, and Kieran's trip, which was due to start the next morning, he was flying straight from Dublin to Rio, it wasn't as he planned.
No, put it like that. No. So he arrived out for you to be in hospital.
Yeah, in intensive care, yeah.
In a coma.
Yeah.
So you were going across the road to the beach. Was it Ipanema Beach?
I think it was Ipanema Beach. It was sort of, this had to be recounted to me because I don't really remember. Like, but I wasn't with the guy I was travelling with, the guy Mark, a friend of mine. But it was, we'd sort of part of company. I think he'd gone home or he'd gone off, and I met this group of guys. There was no problem or no issue with us, but I met this group of people from, I think they're from the University of Colorado, and we decided to go and watch the sunrise because it was November 2010, but being the southern hemisphere, it was summer.
Yeah.
And we were going to watch the sunrise, and I think that's when it happened. This was recounted to me, obviously, but... Yeah.
So you were in a coma, and then in an induced coma.
In an induced coma in
for how long,
Brazil?
In total?
In total, I think it was maybe 6-7 weeks.
And one of those people from the University of Colorado saved your life?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
What you
well,
get?
They we were crossing as a group, and the driver came and he hit, I think he may have hit a couple of us, but he hit me first, and I was most seriously injured, and it was like a cardiac arrest on impact. And one of the girls who was part of this group gave me CPR, and she essentially saved my life and brought me back, and then they got the ambulance, and that group of people, I had to leave, or they did leave Rio the next morning, and then they returned when my family eventually had come over, and they told them this story. Uh-huh. That's how this was.
And then when you come round, you wanted to patch this story together, so you contact them via email to find out. I get a sense that, you know, recounting the story is tough for you.
Well, it's not. Well, certain people would say I tell the story at the drop of a hat, like, but that's not true either. Like, but no, like I suppose I went through a period where I did tell the story a lot. Like,
right.
I may not have recounted it just very like this in a wee while, but yeah. And to be honest, at this stage, it's removed slightly. It sort of it does actually feel like it happened to somebody else, particularly because of my memory, and I don't really have any of my own memory of the time. Like, so.
Okay. And that's scary.
Yeah, that's scary. Like, and that's a big part of, yeah, the brain injury, and like because I had an acquired brain injury because of it. But the fact that I can't remember and I can't put it together, and I'm relying on other people's to, you know, recount all of this, Yeah, it just affected my confidence and, you know.
And how does your acquired brain injury now affect your day-to-day?
Well, essentially, again, your producer asked me that earlier, and I find that sometimes I find it hard to just nail down certain things, but it just, from things like forgetfulness and not being able to plan and organise like I would like to, and silly things like leaving the house to go somewhere and preparing myself to leave, causing me, you know, a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. And but it's just something that I have to learn to deal with differently. I have to learn to do things differently. And yeah, that's not always easy. And
you before you went, you worked with Dublin City Council, and you're back working with them now. And
I worked with South Dublin County Council.
Okay.
It's
a county council that's in the Dublin area.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, but it's important to get the specifics right. Yeah.
Yeah, I worked with them previously, and I took leave to go on my trip initially. And then I took all the sick leave I could, and then because of the way it worked, and I wanted to hold on to my position, which I had planned to, you know, that he would move on from following the masters that he did. But I held on to that because I took a career break after having took all the sick leave that I could. So after 2.5 years, I went back on a phased basis. Like, so it was two days a week, 3 days a week, all the rest. And yeah, and then I eventually got back full time. This is following a surgery on my leg that had to happen in the interim time. At the start of 2015, I came back full time. Into the role that I had left, you know.
Which I'd imagine you thought you never would.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to get back to that. Rebecca, you acquired your brain injury when you were 6.
Yep. Yeah, I had a stroke when I was 6 years of age. I was in primary school and I was only after starting. And like, literally, I remember coming down with a massive headache. And I told the teacher, and she told me to lie down on the desk. And I did, and the headache didn't vanish. So, like, literally, she rang Mam, and Mam came to pick me up. I went to bed. I got up, ate dinner. Like, literally, I remember, like, as if it was yesterday. And I remember following Dad outside, because we live on a farm, and Dad's on the farm. I remember following Dad outside, and suddenly I collapsed. I don't remember much of after that, because I was so young. But as I'm told, I went to Beaumont, then Temple Street, and then Dunleary Hospital.
You rarely hear of children having strokes.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you know? What's your understanding about it since then? You must have asked loads of questions, met loads of experts.
I did, but after Dunleary, I was just thrown back into my old life because no one knew what a stroke was. I did know what a stroke was, but 1996, they'd never like think of like a young person having a stroke. So like literally I went back to school. Back, but it's only been like the last 4 or 5 years I've been very interested in it, and I've done like a stroke speeches up in Crow Park in front of 500 people, and I told my story there. So like literally this opportunity came along today, and I was like grabbed with both hands. Both hands.
So how does it affect you on a day-to-day basis?
I have slight weakness on the right side of my body.
So you're carrying your right arm?
Yeah. And like literally, it doesn't make me very limited, but I can't like do waitressing or bar work because the minute I get excited or nervous, the whole right side of my body just tenses.
Can you drive?
No.
What age
well,
are you? What
I can't. I can drive. Sorry, 26. I can drive, but like literally, I'm in the process of doing my theory test and then going through Irish Wheelchair Society.
You'll have to get a customised car. Yeah. So 6. So then, you know, when you like you say, you were sort of put back into your normal situation.
Yeah.
And then when did you realise that? Was it in your teenage years that you realised that, you know, this had an effect on you?
Yeah, it was my teenage years. I don't remember being like an off the wall teenager, but like I noticed more when I'm in my teenage years and now my adulthood now. But yeah,
and it's I watched that little video you did, and the common reaction you get is that people are surprised when you tell them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Always is it?
Yeah, well, to be honest, like. They are very surprised because they say that you wouldn't notice it, but I do, which is...
Yeah. And what about your memory and your speech? And they all seem to be intact.
When I had the stroke, I had to learn how to walk and how to talk and how to write with my left hand. That's why I was put in like Dunleary Rehabilitation Hospital, right, because okay. I couldn't walk, couldn't talk. But now I'm just here.
Yeah, yeah. And both of you have benefited from the work of Headway.
Yeah. We did, indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So what do they do, Carl?
Well, they just trying to raise public and political awareness of traumatic brain injury and just provide support for sufferers and other victims, and then, you know, information for carers, and just, and even in this initiative that we're involved in the middle, at the minute, it's for like employers or,
prospective employers. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the National Hidden Disability Awards, which takes place tomorrow, and you'll be there.
Yes.
So yeah. It's South... Again, I better get it right.
It's Dublin City Council who I'm working with at the moment. That's who I've come to.
Right, yeah. Work. And you're working 5 days a week?
Yeah.
Full-time?
Yeah. I actually was promoted from the job that I returned to full-time in 2015. I was promoted from that into Dublin City Council. Okay. And I work for fleet management in the city.
Our relationship with our brains is an odd one. Yeah. Mm. You know, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like it is us really, isn't it? Our brains are us. So I can't imagine what it's like then to be second guessing whether your brain is working properly or not. Or
yeah, but you see, that's very much it. Like I oftentimes, and particularly initially, like I didn't trust my experience of reality, or I didn't trust my experience that how I perceived things to be was actually what was happening. Right. And there was a couple of times where I just mixed things up.
Yeah.
And I attributed it completely to my brain injury
Yes.
And then I told myself, well, and that in turn infected my confidence.
Like what? Give us an idea.
There's certain areas that...
You're smiling there, but you don't want to share.
Maybe. Right. And but just when you're dealing with people, like, and just misinterpreting people's intentions.
Okay.
Maybe saying things myself that I wouldn't have said previously.
Right.
Or acting in a way that I wouldn't have acted previously. And then afterwards, being able to identify, well, you know, that wasn't really me, or that wasn't who I think I am, like, I behaving that way, or... And not really being able to figure
that's
out why.
That's worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. But it is. And it affected me like that. And it affected my memory. And I remember saying to my brother, in fact, once, this would have been a couple of years ago, where I think he picked me up from a function or something we were doing. And I wasn't driving at the time, so it may have been 2012. And I asked him just where we'd come from and what we were we doing and who was there. And where are we doing? You know, where are we going now? And this was completely out of character for me at the time. Like, but it was sort of indicative of how unsure you can become.
And do you feel you have to tell people you meet for the first time?
I don't know.
No.
I don't feel I do really.
Okay.
I just think that if it gets to a certain stage and you get close to people, like, you obviously just you'll have to say something.
What about you?
I'm like Cahill. I wouldn't like meeting people the first time. No, but if they noticed and asked me about it, I'd be like, right, come here and sit down beside me. I have something to say. Like, I would never shy away from my stroke. But when you get as close as like friends or like anything like that, I'm really open, really open about it.
And you want to work with animals?
I love animals, especially dogs.
Right. Now, when you did your little video, you got a job with AIR, but what happened there with that job?
The travelling and then the working on top of it. Like, I really want to say how great AIR were. Like, honest to God, like, loved the opportunity to work with AIR. I loved the people. They made it so accommodating to me, and they were absolutely, like, lovely to me. They knew that I had a stroke from day dot, because I told them in the interview, like, I didn't want to hide anything, like, and then I just got the job and I was so grateful. But the travelling and then work on top of that, it was just, I think it was too much for me. Do you tire
more than your average person?
I don't know, because, like, literally,
you've nothing to compare with, really.
Yeah, because in my social life, I love going to gigs and concerts and everything. And people keep asking me, are you tired? Are you tired? Because I'm normally front row with all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not tired at all. But like, I don't know, working the whole, like traveling 2 hours to work, then doing the 8 hour shifts or the 4 hour shifts,
it's
and
tough.
Then traveling home, yeah. 2 hours yeah. home, I just constantly felt drained and tired.
You're talking about the gigs there, and one of your favourite bands are The Script. And
yes.
I didn't know this until I read it today, that Glenn, the drummer,
yeah,
he doesn't have an acquired brain injury himself, but he had a head injury.
Yeah.
And he's an ambassador for Headway, isn't he?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
And that's where I found out about Headway.
All right.
About 4 years, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I read an article about Glenn Power and I was like, what's Headway? Because he mentioned Headway in it. And then I just looked it up online and I was like, oh my God, brain injury. So that's how it got.
Okay. And Carl, I've been looking at your art.
Oh, right, okay.
Were you an artist before?
Well, I don't think that I'm an artist now, like, but I always did art.
All right.
But because of the way that life was, like, I didn't really follow it up, like, I didn't really do much about it. I would have done it now and again, like, here and there, just for friends and that. But it was actually after my accident, I think it was in 2012 that I got involved in the Dublin Camp, what is now the Dublin Canvas Initiative. So yeah, that's one good thing, like, you know.
So describe what you do. What are those?
They're electricity boxes.
Electricity boxes,
yeah.
Right? So you do art for them?
Yeah, just paint them.
Yeah.
Essentially, well, the initiative is called Dublin Canvas now, and they invite submissions. And they tell you where the boxes are, and you submit artwork that has to be, well, it should be relevant to the surrounding area, and then they select the best or the ones that they want to go ahead, and they just say, right,
where are yours then? Where?
there's one currently, one on Manor Street in Stony Batter, one on Leonard's Corner. And
it's a great idea, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
It just brightens up the
city. Yeah,
and
everybody loves it. I'm actually working on one at the moment on Kelly's Corner in Portobello. But for everyone I've done, because I take my time because I'm very, very slow. And people just love it, like, you know.
So you just go out there and do it on the...
Yeah.
It's not a transfer or anything, you actually...
Yeah, no, it's paint, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they supply all these things for you, and you go out and you do it. But like the people who pass by, they're just so effusive in the praise, like, and they love it. And people who pass mine and see me, they really comment on mine, but they're saying, oh, I saw a lovely one down there. Somebody else did it, but like, you know. It's brilliant. I think it's brilliant.
Right. And if you go, is there a website, Dublin Canvas? Or
it's dublincanvas.com.
So you can see all the work,
yeah,
including yours.
All the work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your ideal job then, Rebecca?
Working with animals.
Working
especially
with animals.
Dogs. Love, because I'd done voluntary work in Dogs Trust and then Kitten Cottage, and then I got the, I'd done an internship with the Irish Heart Foundation, and then I got the job with AIR.
Right.
And then I'm handing out CVs closer to home, closer to Cavan.
Closer to Cavan.
Yeah.
Right. That's the famous joke about a pregnant cow and Monaghan.
Oh, really?
Both of them are close to Cavan.
Yeah. Okay. you said something about Monaghan.
You're from Monaghan, I know. delighted to hear Carl on the radio. Inspiring individual. Ty Holland's greatest left half back. Is that Ty Holland?
Doesn't say who sent that in.
So you're going to be there. The National Hidden Disability Awards take place tomorrow. You're an advert for the work of Headway.
Headway,
yes.
I can see how it affects your confidence.
It's really
changed your life.
In relation to Headway, like, before I got I met the people in Headway, I was completely, not lost, but I was like, you wouldn't meet a stroke survivor in Cavan.
Yeah.
And now coming to Headway, I'm just like, oh my God, they understand everything I've been.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And I cannot thank
love the art on Leonard's Corner. Did you see her on Leonard's Corner?
That's
yours. Yeah, it's fab. Congrats. So there.
Right,
Rebecca. Lovely
thank
meeting you.
Thank you so much. Thank
Carl,
you.
Thanks
thank
for
you,
coming
Ray.
In. Enjoy the awards tomorrow. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.